Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the midweek service. Thank you for the opportunity and privilege to be here this evening. Now, Holy Spirit, please come and speak to our hearts. Use our preacher now. Help us to get what he's teaching, Lord, and use it in our lives. We pray, please. We love you. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Take your Bible. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6. We are in our 36th lesson on the life of Moses. Hard to believe. There's, I don't know how many left. We're nearing the end of it, that's for sure. But I've enjoyed it. I think you have. Tonight will be a little different angle on something, and I'll kind of review some things here in a moment. But let's read first 7 verses. You follow along silently. Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 through 7. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou, and thy son, and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and the days of and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that they may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. By the way, he doesn't have many different names like Buddha and Mohammed. He is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Look at verse number 12. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Now, Deuteronomy is a powerful book of the Bible, and it's one that we need today in our lives. The word Deuteronomy literally means second law. And let me just review, because we touched it here in the last week. The book of Deuteronomy is different. It is just within probably 30 days before the Jews go into the Promised Land, the entire book. It only covers a very short period of time, but it's a review. It means second giving of the law. Remember, everybody age 20 and older had already died. The only ones still alive were Moses, Joshua, and Caleb that were over the age of 20 40 years previously. And God wants them to be ready to go into the land of promise, but he wants to make sure that he reviews everything that he gave them in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers again, so that they are without excuse when they go and inhabit the land. Make sense to everybody? Moses knows he's not going. That means Moses knows this is his last project. I don't know what the right word would be to give it. Last hoorah before he dies. And so Deuteronomy is also needed today. I think if you were to put a main, and I don't get into themes of books and everything else, but one of the main teachings of Deuteronomy is this: God's commands are for all generations, not just one. God's commands are for all generations, not just one. See, God wanted this generation to know what he expected of them, but he also wanted it for their children and their children's children and thereafter. Now, you have to understand this, and keep in mind, this was for the founding of a new nation, virtually. Now, the Jews were a nation of people, but they hadn't gotten to their land. It's not like they were founding a new group of people, but they were going into a brand new land and founding it. And he said, look, here's what I expect of you while you're in that new land. This is how you set up your government. This is how you set up your religious structure. And everything to do with that was settled through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and restated in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, for lack of better words, now don't hold me to this as a gospel kind of thing, but it's much like our Constitution of the United States. It was the basic premise of how to establish a country. By the way, did you know there are morality standards in the Constitution? Well, you can't legislate morality. Constitution does. America is always in trouble when we get away from original intent. The farther we get away from how we were founded with the Constitution, by the way, the Constitution didn't come about till 1789. Declaration of Independence was 1776. We went 13 years under the Articles of Confederation. Articles of Confederation just about destroyed America. That's what I thought was funny about the Civil War, because when the South broke away from the North, they went back to the Articles of Confederation, and that's why they couldn't function as a nation. It didn't work in 1776. It wasn't going to work again. You cannot work under a system that way. That's when George Washington said it takes a wagon full of money to buy a wagon full of food, because you couldn't buy anything. And the Articles of Confederation didn't work, and we had this since 1789. Now, for instance, the right to bear arms was not for hunting. It was to protect yourself from the overthrow of government.
Yes, sir.
The colonists didn't say the deer are coming. The colonists didn't say the squirrels are coming or the rabbits are coming. They said the British are coming. There is an overthrow against us, and let's protect ourselves. And that's what it was for. Isn't it amazing? Why is it in a school shooting, the gun is the issue? But when a police officer shoots somebody, it's the officer's fault. Well, guns don't deter crime. Let me ask you a question. Who were the first people they called in Parkland, Florida? They called the police officers who had guns to come in and stop somebody who was shooting. And you want to tell me that guns don't stop gun violence? We call people with guns to settle people that don't know how to use their guns properly. So if more people were armed, we would have less problems with that.
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you something? That's the right to bear arms. Now, I won't stay on that too long, other than to say my son was coaching a basketball game 1.5 miles from that school. Just within the last, matter of fact, the day before that shooting, they played a ball game within 1.5 miles of that building. He said, "Dad, we were just there." He said, "Boy, does that make it real?" Sad. Yes, it is. And don't you believe all these protests that these kids have started, the Democrats and Oprah Winfrey and the rest of her crowd giving $500,000 each to organize these things are what doing it, not the students. Everybody doing okay? Now, God is using the book of Deuteronomy as a kind of constitution with the Jews to set up the land of Canaan. He doesn't want the Jews to fail. He wants them to succeed. He wants them to be prosperous. He wants them to be very prosperous. He wants them to stay close to him so that they can maximize their prosperity. Now, let me make this statement. The principles of the book of Deuteronomy and the principles of what we have studied thus far are for all of God's people, not just the Jews. I am not one of those people that the Bible was written only to the Jew and the Gentile can glean from it. No, we are God's people as much as the Jews are. Matter of fact, if you go to the book of Romans, I think it's chapter 2, you find out that it says you're not a Jew because you're one outwardly, you're one because you are inwardly by the remission of your sin. The moment you get saved, you are a child of God and you're part of his seed. Now, let me make this statement. These were not laws for attaining spiritual, eternal life. These were for living life here with God's blessing and prosperity on their lives. It is a misnomer and it is a misspeak, and it's not right to say Old Testament is law, New Testament is grace. Old Testament never was law. The laws that were given were for the establishment of the nation of Israel as a nation in the land of Canaan, had nothing to do with salvation. Not one of them had to do with salvation. Ten Commandments were civil law. That was established before the Levitical law. Had nothing to do with going to heaven. And if you had to be saved by the law, how did Abraham, Noah, Adam, and everybody before that law ever get saved? This was a government like our Constitution. It was to give them prosperity in the land of Israel. Okay? Now, the Levitical laws pointed to Jesus. That's why the temple worship stopped at Calvary and church began. That's why Jesus started the church, not the temple. Everybody doing okay? Now, keep in mind this as you read the book of Deuteronomy. This has nothing to do with gaining eternal life. It has everything to do with settling the land of Canaan. Just like when we came here from Eastern Europe and we settled the land of America, and then we fought against the British, bought our freedom, then we started settling the land of the United States of America. We started with 13 colonies. Then we expanded a little bit. Then we got the Louisiana Purchase. And we expanded a little farther. And then we bought the California territories and different things and part of Texas. And we expanded things, and that expansion came because of prosperity in other areas. And that is exactly what God expected here in Deuteronomy. Now, let me get to the main teaching. I have three thoughts. I'm going to try to quickly run through this. Get your Bibles open. You're going to need them here in the book of Deuteronomy. You ready? Number one, God's commands don't change by generation. God's commands don't change by generation. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, just back a couple chapters. Deuteronomy chapter 4, look at verse number 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes, that's the Bible, and the judgments, that's the Bible, which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord your God giveth, your fathers giveth you. Look at me. That had nothing to do with going to heaven, did it? Has everything to do with going into the land of Canaan. Look at verse 2. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I commanded you. Now notice something. God says here, look, everything I gave you 40 years ago, and I gave to your fathers and your grandfathers, don't you change it. Don't add anything. Don't subtract anything. You take it just as I gave them. By the way, as you read the book of Deuteronomy, you see everything restated word for word. All of the commands were restated word for word. Look down at verse number 9, same chapter, chapter 4. Deuteronomy 4, verse 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Ah, we're extending some generations. He said, look, your generation needs to teach it to your children and to your grandkids. Look at verse number 23, same chapter. Take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he had made with you, and make you a graven image or likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. Remember when they made the graven image after the giving of the law that Moses came down? They had the golden calf from Egypt that they had made. He said, look, don't do that. Remember how many people died from all that mess? He said, I'll do it again. Now, this is Moses himself getting instruction from God, telling them exactly what he told their fathers and their grandfathers 40 years previously. He said, don't change it. Now, look at Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse number 23. And it came to pass when you... look at verse 22, I'm sorry. These words the Lord spake... notice... These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount, the midst of the fire and of the cloud. God actually spoke these words verbally, and they heard God himself giving them. Out of the thick darkness with a great voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them in tables of stone and delivered them unto me. The tables of stone were written by the finger of God, not by Moses.
Right.
Look at verse 23. And it came to pass, when you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that ye came not near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders. They were afraid. They said, "Ooh, man, that's too powerful for us. We don't want to get that close to God. Moses, you take care of talking to God and tell us what he says." Now, Moses himself is reminding them what God gave them by God's mouth and by God's finger, written in tables of stone. All right? May I say this? If we'll practice these same principles in the book of Deuteronomy today, it'll help us today just as much as it did to the Jews 4,000 years ago. Just as much. Same principles are true. Thou shalt not lie. That's real hard. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Those are civil laws. You can get into even some of the Levitical and the moral laws. God talked about sanitation and different things and diseases and how they transfer and cleaning things and how to clean yourselves and keep everybody clean and all that kind of stuff. It's all in there. God said, if you just live by these rules, you'll have a productive life. I got to hurry. So, number one, God's commands don't change by generation. By the way, we're not supposed to change them for our generation.
Sorry.
We're not supposed to change them for the next generation.
Amen.
I got this today as an email. This person's in Iowa. I don't even know this person. I know the family, but I haven't talked to the family in probably quarter century. This is what it says. It said, "Hi, Pastor Bush. I was down a little the other day because I went on Facebook. I know I shouldn't have. Just to see the guys I went to college back in the day and have all changed to this new teaching style, so-called church. I cried to think what Brother Hiles taught they just threw by the wayside. And seeing the old preachers that have been faithful have all passed from the scene. Said my family was originally from North Carolina, and one of the last giants of the faith, Brother Robertson, passed away this last week. Have to admit, I was discouraged a bit. I was still preparing for Sunday school and junior church, preaching, as well as deciding to take over a bus route or not, I was asked to do. Your sermon this past Sunday, How to Strengthen Your Faith, encouraged me. Believe me, I will accept the route. Believe me when I will do everything I can to help reach this area of Iowa. Thanks for standing for what's right in this day and age. Still praying for you and your church. P.S. He said something very kind about somebody in his family that was also listening to our sermons online. I haven't preached that sermon for anybody else. I preached it for us. There's somebody out in the middle of Iowa, out in the cornfields, was discouraged, listened to it, and look what God did. Say, what is that? Keep on standing for right. Just keep doing it God's way. It doesn't change.
Amen.
Your friends change, you don't have to change.
Right.
Churches change, you don't have to change.
Amen.
When everything's falling down around you, don't change.
Yes, sir.
Say, well, it doesn't work anymore. God didn't say do it when it works. He said just do it. He'll make it work as he wants it to work.
Yes, sir.
Number two. The rules only work when people do them, not just when they know them. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6 again. I'm going to show you some things here. You know, rules only work when you obey them. I don't care how many of them you know. How many of them are you living?
Yes, sir.
Look at verse number 1. Now, these commandments and statutes and judgments which the Lord your God command to teach you that you might, what's the next word?
Do
them in the land. Whether you go to possess it. It wasn't that you might know them. It's that you might do them. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep. That means you have to do something. All his statutes and commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, and all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Skip down to verse number, I don't have time. I got to hurry. there's so much I want to say right here. Verse number 7 is, as a parent, if you parent children, you ought to memorize it. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest down in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. In other words, how you live the rules teaches your children. How you live teaches as much as what you say out of your mouth. There wasn't one thing there about what you say. It said, when thou liest down, teaching them schedule. When thou risest up, what do you do when you get up in the morning? When thou walkest by the way, you are to be teaching constantly. I teach everywhere I go. When I was a parent and had my kids at home, I taught. My son calls me this week. He's, Dad, I got a history fair this week. I said, good for you. Who started that? He said, I did. I said, why'd you do that? He said, because I loved it in high school. Now I got to lead it. It's not as fun when you got to lead the whole thing. I said, yeah. I said, but man, what a great thing. He sent me some pictures tonight of the backboards and stuff. And he said, Dad, they're doing good. They're doing so good. He said, I'm so proud of them. He said, I got kids actually excited about history, and the parents are going crazy. I said, that's what it's all about. Say, where did he learn it? From the old man. And from his teachers. And from people that taught me. It goes back. You know, you got to teach everywhere you go. By the way, God wanted them, the rules done and taught to the children. The next generation needs us to teach the rules and the laws as God intended, not how we interpret them. It's not a matter of how we see the rules. How did God write it? We have, I had this discussion with somebody today in a very distant state. I said, we have destroyed America in our public school system. You watch a bunch of young people protest guns and they don't even know what they're talking about. They have no concept. They have accepted because their parents and their parents' parents have been trained in a public school system that has propagandized them. Starting with FDR changing the curriculums, and by the 1950s and 60s, we had communist teaching in our schools, in our colleges, i.e. Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton. Their parents fought World War II. The hippies of the 60s, parents, were the heroes of the 40s of World War II. The ones that risked life and limb to go fight the commies brought them over here to teach our kids and wondered what happened. We kicked God out, we kicked truth out, and now there is no truth to teach. Listen to these kids.
I heard one of them on the news tonight. We need, this is what they said, we need our government to take better care of us.
No, we don't need to send them to kindergarten. We need to get them out of that school and train them right. That's what kindergarten teaches them. I'm just letting you know, it's not the government's job. We have to train people to obey. Do you know you have to train your children to obey? Did you know you don't have to train them to disobey? They do it real good on their own.
Right.
Brother Rich, nobody taught you how to disobey because you did it really good by yourself. Yeah, nobody has to teach you how to disobey. You have to teach people how to obey. Follow this line of thinking with me for a second here. Children may not listen to you, but they always repeat you. They may not listen to what you say, but they'll do what you do. You want to find out what you are? Wait till your kids get about 4, 5, 6, 7 years old and listen to them play. You'll hear yourself and your wife in them. They'll repeat everything they've heard. Trust me. All those bad attitudes, you wonder where they got them? Look in the mirror. You see, we teach and we train by previous generations, showing them how it works and how to do it. The study of history is not to punch a bunch of facts into somebody's brain. Teachers that teach that history that way are not real smart. History is not an accumulation of facts. History is studying events, find out what did work and repeat it, find out what didn't work and don't repeat it. That's the real teaching of history. Too many people think history is, well, you got to figure out what happened on this date and that date and this date and that date. Stinking dates, who gives a flip? There are some dates that are important, not as many as people think. July 4th, important. 1776, important. 1789, important. 1915, 1914 for World War I through 1917, great, no problem. We can go through World War II, 1939, 1945, no problem. I can take you through a bunch of other dates, major dates in American history, great. But it's not all about dates, it's about what led to those events. We didn't learn from World War I, so we had World War II. We didn't listen in World War II, so we had the Korean War. We didn't listen in the Korean War, and we fought Vietnam. And if we'd listened to George Patton, we'd have taken care of business while we were over there in 45, and we wouldn't have had either of those two wars. And we wouldn't have had troubles with the Arabs, because he wanted them to grease his tank treads. He said, that's all they're good for. Let's get rid of them while we're over here. And he said, and I quote, if we don't march to Moscow and get rid of the commies, the next war we fight is against the commies. And less than 10 years later, we were fighting the communists in Korea. He knew what he was talking about. We didn't listen and we didn't learn from history. So we're to teach and train our children. Verses 5 through 10 in chapter 6 there talks about how we're to teach our children and teach our children's children. And to teach them not just the facts, but to teach them to transfer it to the next generations. That's what it's all about. By the way, it's to be taught at home, not the schools. You don't find anything in here about a school. I'm not against school. But I said it before, public school system is out of control. And it's not even a constitutional thing. There is nothing in the provisions of our government to be sponsored in the training of our children. It was to be left up to the home and to the church so that the government didn't do it. Number 3, I gotta hurry. I could preach a whole series on point number 2, subpoint F. All right, number 3. God wrote these rules so that no generation had an excuse to disobey. These were not Moses' laws. These are God's laws. And folks, don't get mad at me, but I'm going to say it. I get a little weary of people saying, well, Paul said here, and Moses said here, and David said here. No, they're God's words. Amen. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. God said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. These were not man's words, they're God's words. God used men, yes, to pen them. God used man, yes, to speak them. But they're not man's words, they are God's words. Deuteronomy 6, verse number 24, the Bible says, And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he commanded us. Not as Moses commanded us, as God commanded us. We read chapter 5, verse 22, where it says that God spoke these words and he wrote them on the tables of stone. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 40. The Bible says, thou shalt keep them, therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee, thy children after thee. Thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. They are God's words. 2 Peter 1:20, and I don't have time to take you to turn there. It says that the scriptures are of no private interpretation. Now, listen to me.
We're not to privately say in our, well, that's what it meant back then, but now we want it to mean this. No, God said it. It still goes.
That's right.
Brother Stoltz, is it real hard to understand? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not lie. I guess it's still good. Thou shalt have no other gods before thee. You know, some things in civil law are not hard. Moral law is not hard to understand. Thou shalt not commit adultery. God talks about fornication. God talks about uncleanness. Those aren't hard things for us to understand. It may be hard for some to live, but may I say this? God didn't say it was going to be easy to live. He just said those laws are still pertaining. You see, man wants to look as smart as God. That's why a man says, well, things have changed. Society has changed. Society has changed, but God didn't. That's why man wants to rewrite God's words. Just because you want to rewrite God's words, take your Bible from Genesis chapter 3. The first perversion of the Bible came in Genesis chapter 3. When man wants to change God's words, he becomes satanic. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1. I'm going to read 3 verses. I might read 6 verses. Ready? Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord thy God hath made. Brother Stoltz, it's the first book of the Bible. Come on, hurry up. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Look at me. God hath said. Those are God's words. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree of the, which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know in the day that ye eat. Hang on here. For God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And we have man following Satan by disobeying God's words and rewriting God's words. That's what Satan did. The first bad version of the Bible came from the devil. And the last version written by man is still written by the devil. Do what you want. You could be as gods. You could decide good and evil for yourself. Man is so impressed with his own intelligence that he's stupid. Nancy Pelosi really thinks she's smart. When she stood on the floor of the House and said, I think it's criminal that we are sending these DACA children back. These illegal aliens have done nothing illegal, and we shouldn't send them back unless they do something illegal. Illegal aliens doing something illegal. Being here is illegal. Dum-dum. I knew I shouldn't have said that. It came out too fast. They really think they're smart. She really thinks she's intelligent. Do you know that President Trump's approval rating is higher than President Obama's is at this stage of his presidency? The economy is going like gangbusters right now, and everybody is surprised that we're told by the Democrats you won't get a tax increase and it won't help you, and everybody's got higher paychecks and everything's changing. We listen to news propagandize things so badly. I say this, listen to what the news says, believe the opposite, and you're going to be pretty close. The only collusion has been between Hillary and Russia, not between Trump and Russia. And be careful before you crucify the president even on some of this gun stuff. He did this on some other things too. It's called negotiating. Hang in there. He knows what he's doing.
Now, do I think he's the next coming of John the Baptist? No. But I wouldn't want to put up with the junk he's got to put up with. I'm for anybody going to fight the news media and fight bad government. God knows I've got a letter ready to go to him about red tape and the EPA. Oh, you just wait. It's coming. But we want to criticize, we want to lift up Kim Jong-un's sister who is there observing the North Koreans and being a henchwoman for her brother in case somebody steps out of line so that she can have them killed when they cross back into North Korea. And we think it's bad that Vice President Pence didn't fawn all over her. But Vice President Pence is a bad man because he doesn't even believe in being in a car with somebody other than his wife if it's a woman. And he's a bad man. And the sodomite skaters and skiers and athletes that won't shake his hand because under his watch as governor, he was for signing the bill that if a cake company didn't want to do a cake for a sodomite, that they didn't have to. And that's such a bad thing that we'll snub the vice president, talk bad about him. Where's our heads? Where is our heads? Do you notice every one of the Olympic athletes speak English? English is the world's language. I really believe the one world language would be English. And we have the King James Bible in English for everybody. Hmong has one in Vietnamese now. Can I tell you something? We need to get back to let what God said, not as I see it. We need to get back to what hath God said, not what do I believe about it. No, let's just take it at face value. Well, that's just too simple. I said it the other day. Truth is simple. Man complicates it with lies. Man complicates it. Truth is very simple. That's why a child can understand it. Bible? Pretty simple. We complicate it by all of our sin. With our perversion and our spin of sin. Well, I was taught... Yeah, quit what you were taught. Let's take what God said and forget what you were taught. That's the hard part. It's really not hard. It's pretty basic. Every head bowed, every eye closed...